This is Ken Barron with the National Association for Black and White Men Together. The podcast today is on the pandemic and pandering. The last 4 years have been difficult for most of us. As we close out the current Trump administration and look forward to a more humane and sane Biden term, we note that recent events show that the current administration has failed to protect us against the coronavirus and failed to defend us against the vast Russian cyber attacks. First item, the COVID pandemic. The entire year has been dominated by the coronavirus disease, and many countries in the world are experiencing second or third waves of COVID-19 cases as the weather turns colder. The virus affects black and brown people disproportionately. As the weather has turned cold, many countries are experiencing these waves of disease, bringing a fresh amount of lockdowns in countries like France and the United Kingdom, or restrictions to daily life. But in some regions, hospital systems are again being pushed to the brink. As of November 25th, the global death toll has reached 1.4 million, with 259,000 from the United States alone. Over the summer, some parts of the world have a bit of a respite from SARS-CoV-2, as it's called. But as the summer months turn into fall, cases began to pick up again. However, there is some hope in the not too distant future, with three vaccine candidates reporting strong efficacy data. Gloria Tani in the Washington Post reports that, quote, President Trump's decision to mislead the public about the severity of the crisis has failed to listen to scientists about how to keep Americans healthy, and he has refused to implement a coordinated national plan to stop the virus. And these have all contributed to devastating results. More than 227,000 Americans are dead. More than 8.8 million Americans infected, and a dangerous virus that continues to spread out of control 9 months after it reached our nation's shores. Record number of cases have been reported in the past week, according to the Washington Post. Quote, today's report exclusively documents what has been clear. The Trump administration's response to the coronavirus crisis has been a tragic failure. That's what Subcommittee Chairman Representative James Clyburn said in a call with reporters. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who created the subcommittee over GOP objections, she said she would be recommending its renewal in the next Congress. Last month, Republican members of the panel released their own report, which praised the president's response, saying he has carefully balanced health concerns with the need to reopen the economy. But the wide-ranging critique by Democrats takes a far different view, citing multiple failures by the administration, including examples where officials sidelined top scientists when their advice put them in conflict with the administration's agenda, and repeatedly weakened public health recommendations, including calls to make the face coverings mandatory. This report identifies issues with pandemic-related contracting, citing examples in which the Trump administration officials awarded contracts without competition to companies that lacked experience in the field or had political connections to the administration. In other instances, the report says companies won contracts but failed to meet their obligations. The subcommittee also indicated it is looking into seven contracts issued by four federal agencies that raise significant red flags. The report says the administration undermined efforts to help Americans who lost their jobs, who were at risk of losing their homes because of the pandemic. And it isn't just individuals the administration failed, the report contends, saying the Trump administration mishandled programs designed to help small businesses stay afloat. The report goes on to say, quote, the Select Subcommittee's investigations show that the Trump administration weakened these programs by prioritizing larger and wealthier businesses over truly struggling small businesses, exacerbating inequality in the economic downturn, and also failed to institute adequate financial controls, leading to significant fraud, waste, and abuse. And what's more, quote, contrary to Congress's intent, the Treasury provided payroll support programs, funds, to do more than a dozen airline industry contractors that had engaged in mass layoff. And now come the news that a Trump administration official pushed for herd immunity strategy to respond to coronavirus, writing that it is good for lower risk people to be infected with the virus, according to emails obtained by Congress. Paul Alexander, at the time a Department of Health and Human Services official, referred to younger people and lower risk people in an email and wrote, quote, we want them infected, end quote. Scott Atlas, a Trump official, pushed for herd immunity, calling for low-risk Americans to be infected. Emails show Trump claimed U.S. nearly at 15% efficacy in COVID-19 immunity is a very powerful vaccine in itself. Most health experts says it's impossible to shield vulnerable people if the virus is circulating unchecked amongst others. Turning to the second topic, pondering to Russia. Over the past few years, the US government has spent tens of billions of dollars on cyber offensive abilities, building a giant war room at Fort Meade, Maryland for US Cyber Command, while installing defensive sensors all around the country. A system, wait for it, they named Einstein to give it an air of genius to deter the nation's enemies from picking its networks clean again. It is now clear that the broad Russian espionage attack on the US government and private companies underway since spring and detected by the private sector only a few weeks ago ranks amongst the greatest intelligence failures of modern times. Einstein missed it because the Russian hackers brilliantly designed their attack to avoid setting it off. The National Security Agency and the Department of Homeland Security were looking elsewhere, understandably focused on protecting the 2020 election. On Tuesday, whether the Defense Department has seen evidence of compromise, the acting Defense Secretary, Christopher Miller, said, quote, no, not yet, but obviously looking closely at it. Other government officials said they were trying to turn ignorance about what happened into a happy spin. It is clear that the Defense Department is one of the many government agencies that made extensive use of the software that Russia bored into. Stunning, said Senator Richard Blumenthal, and he wrote Tuesday night, quote, today's classified briefing on Russian cyber attack left me deeply alarmed, in fact, downright scared. Americans deserve to know what's going on. He called for the government to declassify what it knows and what it does not know. On Wednesday morning, Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois called the Russian cyber attack, quote, a virtual declaration of war. He was wrong. All nations spy on each other and the United States used cyber infiltration to steal secrets as well. But the disparate Russian intelligence units have, in previous attacks, used similar access to shut systems down, destroy data, and in the case of Ukraine, shut off power. Inside banks and Fortune 500 companies, executives are also trying to understand the impact of the breach. Many use the network management tool that the hackers quietly bored into in order to carry out their intrusions. It's called Orion and made by Austin, Texas-based company SolarWinds. Los Alamitos National Laboratory, where nuclear weapons are designed, also uses it, as do major military contractors. SolarWinds was ripe for a target, former employees and advisors say, not only for the breadth and depth of its software, but for its own dubious security precautions. The company did not have a chief information officer, and internal emails shared with the New York Times showed that employees' passwords were leaking out on the GitHub last year. Reuters earlier reported that a researcher informed the company last year that he had uncovered the password to SolarWinds' update mechanism. That's the vehicle through which 18,000 of its customers were compromised. The password was, wait for it, SolarWinds123. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin appears to be taking a cyber attack joyride through federal government agencies. And once again, President Donald Trump shows no intention of applying the brakes. Putin knows that President-elect Joe Biden will take the Kremlin's hacking, malware, denial of service attacks, and electron interference seriously. So the Russian president has just weeks remaining to muscle his way through the firewalls and security infrastructure of key U.S. agencies to pilfer, posture, and provoke. And if a new attack revealed this weekend is any indication, we'd be looking at a cyber showdown between Biden and Putin as soon as the president-elect takes office. So, in conclusion, these two areas of failure show the need for a competent government led by an administration that is knowledgeable. In addition, we as citizens must be vigilant and educated on the policies and people they can support and support equality, especially for communities of color. The National Association of Black and White Men Together fights hard to achieve a better life for all. We fight for all these and for policies against racism and homophobia. The National Association of Black and White Men Together Media Committee, to these ends, has a political action program. If you wish to help, please email us at nebwmt@nebwmt.org. That's it for today. Stay tuned on wherever you find your podcast. In addition, you might want to check out our many Facebook pages and groups. And we're on Twitter, and our website is nebwmt.org. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.